is.
Yeah.
Baldrins.
Yeah, Baldrins. No, but what is a testimony? That's what I wanted to talk about a bit. And so in Acts 1 verse 8, I think this is really, really cool. I've been thinking about this a lot, about what is a testimony and what is a witness, because the whole weekend we're going to be talking about the manifestations, and I guess we called it this kind of dorky name, the evidence of the gift of Holy Spirit, is that
something like that?
Yeah, anyway, the point was about the evidence, though, as a testimony. As what is a testimony? So Acts 1:8 says, but when the Holy Spirit will come on you, you will receive what?
Power.
Yes. You will receive power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and also among the Samaritans, even to the ends of the earth. So you will receive power, and then the first thing that he says is you will be a witness. You will be witnesses. So I looked up the word picture for witness this afternoon, actually. And it's two letters. The I-N, which is the picture to see, and a D, which stands for a door. So it's Ed. You can remember Ed. Mm-hmm. If you want to know what a witness is, it's an Ed. Like Mr. Ed. You know? He was speaking.
Got it.
Okay, Ed. You won't forget it now. Okay, so you put the two letters together to see the door. You go, see the door, what is that? Well, to see also has the idea of experience, because what you see with your eye, you have, it becomes part of your life. And the word door also represents what you do in your life, where you go in and out from. So, and Ed is to experience life. It's to see the door. You see the life. You see what is in your life. And so, the greatest witness is, and the greatest testimony is something that happened specifically to you in your life. You experience it. So you are firsthand, you have firsthand understanding of it. Like I could now take Scott's story and turn it around and say, oh, I heard about this story that Scott had this great thing happened to his car, and I would tell it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not my experience. So it's a different kind of a testimony. So I started thinking, okay, like in a legal term, when you present evidence in a courtroom, the best evidence and the best testimony is the one who was the eyewitness, right? And in legal terms, when you take a deposition, what you do in the line of questioning is to get that person to say the whole story. You know, where were you on the night of August 28th at 11 p.m.? Oh, I was doing this, this, and this, and that. And they write it down word for word for word, so that it can be preserved as the testimony. And then you present that in the court. All right, well, think about that in light of our lives. When God says we're going to be witnesses, what are we saying? What are we going to be saying? We're going to be saying how He is working in our life and how this is a personal experience, starting with the miracle, being born again. Mm-hmm. That's what we're witnesses of. Mm-hmm. So, look at Hebrews 11. This is just so much fun. Hebrews 11 is the great cloud of witnesses, right? And why they're witnesses is because their life showed something about faith. And that's why they're used as the example here. So we just even read the first one. in starting in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered a sacrifice that was more excellent than that of Cain to God. And because of it, there is a testimony about him, or a witness about him. There's an ed about him that he was upright. And God testified. Now, God turns out to be the witness of his offering, and because of it, although he is dead, he speaks. Abel gave the offering that God said. He obeyed what God said. He said, kill an animal, shed the blood, and that will be for forgiveness of sins. So Abel believed that, and he did it. He made the offering, and then God was a witness of that experience that he had, saying, yes, he obeyed because he accepted his offering. And because this is all this experience of life, he's still speaking today. So think about our lives whenever we tell anything about how great God is, what he did to me, how he taught me, what he did for me today, what anything that we are witnessing or saying about God that is first-hand, eyewitness, personal experience, it's then God testifies back and goes, yep, that's my son. I did that, yep, I poured the power out, now look, he's got a testimony. Isn't that so cool? Then another kind of testimony is where there's a representation or a demonstration of something. Like what this, a lot of the records in Hebrews are where the people obeyed God and they were demonstrating their faith so that other people could see it. And in a legal sense, again, that's where someone explains, like they get up on the stand and they say, this is a character witness of Sal over here. I have known him for 30 years and he could never possibly have lied in any kind of situation because of blah, 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 blah. You know, and you give a demonstration of your knowledge and understanding of something. Okay? And then that becomes a sort of a signpost that another person can look at and go and say, well, if Sal said that, I mean, if I'm testifying about Sal and I'm a reliable source, right, then the jury can look at that and go, oh, well, then I will accept that. So I was thinking about the other ways that there are witnesses, and one of them is a song. Like the song of Moses when they crossed over the Red Sea, he gave this whole song that was all praise to God about how God had done this and he cast the Egyptians into the sea and all this effort. Right? But you were saying a song today, and I said to Gino, I said, that's what God was teaching me from the Word. It was in his song about wisdom and about asking and crying out for open my eyes. And so his song actually ends up becoming a testimony, a witness of what God has worked in him. And then it can in turn become a testimony to me, because if I sing that song, then I am demonstrating what God has done too. So there's all kinds of other really cool ways that there are testimonies. In the Old Testament, there's the time where Joshua, where they crossed the Red Sea, and God told Joshua to pile up all these rocks in the middle of the dry land so that when the water came back into the Jordan, right, it still showed this pile of rocks in the middle of the Jordan River. So that when your children come and ask you, what is that pile of rocks in the middle of the river? You can go, there was a day where Moses had his staff and he put it on there and the sea parted and a million people went over on dry ground. And you're like, Wow, that's what that stone means? Yes. And there's lots of records in the Old Testament about piles of stones or making a stone to be a witness of something God did, so that later when people would see it, they would remember that, oh yeah, that's what God did. So let's just think about, just for a minute, like, what are the stones that we can set up in our lives? Milestones, in a sense, you know, the day you got born again, the day you had some healing happen the first time, the day someone came to you and you got to speak the word to them and they believed, just like that. I mean, those are stones where there are records of a person's life in experience that speak for our experience. Like the person, you know, that you witnessed to and that you got born again, they continue to testify just like Abel. So they become a demonstration of God's power. Artwork can do that. Music can do that. Also, look at, somebody read, turn to Psalm 89, because you had this in your song. Psalm 89 and verse 37.
It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah.
Yeah, when every morning the sun comes up, every night the moon comes in the sky, it's a witness. It's a testimony of God's love and goodness.
Faithfulness.
And his faithfulness, right? Day after day. So he's knocking. The heavens declare the glory of God. Every day he's declaring, I am a faithful God. Trust me. So it's a witness. So that's what I was thinking about the manifestations of speaking in tongues, right? Because that's the witness. So, yeah, look at First John. That's the witness to ourselves. The testimony to ourselves. Whenever we doubt anything or doubt that God's there or have a question about who he is or anything, all we have to do is start speaking in tongues. And it's like he's confirming again, oh yeah, I'm here. I didn't go anywhere.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you're thinking. You have a faithful witness right inside of you that you can speak at any time. Maybe we can't go to the Jordan River and see the rocks, you know? Or they're pretty far away. But we have the witness within ourselves. That's what 1 John 5 said. Let's see. Verse 9. If we receive the testimony or the witness of men, how much more the testimony of God that is greater? And this is the testimony of God that he testified concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has a testimony in himself. And everyone who does not believe has made God a liar in that he did not believe the testimony that God testified concerning his Son.
There you go.
So you hear somebody speak in tongues and don't believe that that person's born again, then you're denying God's testimony, because he's set that up to be the ultimate witness. I think it's awesome when we talk about people getting healed and all this great stuff. But the real, true, ultimate witness that God gave to us was speaking in tongues. And if we speak in tongues, then we are testifying to ourselves over and over and over that God is faithful, just like the moon, the sun, everything else, just like the stone, just like Abel's sacrifice. But we have it every day, any moment of any day of our whole life. So, it was so cool. I'd love to hear your comments about it, because there was a point not very long ago where I was just really moaning. I was like, Father, I want a testimony. You know, I want to see miracles. I want to have this, I want to be able to stand up and go, oh, this really great thing happened to me. And he was just, God was so gentle. He just said, you already have. You have had things happen to you over and over and over for the last 40-some years. Starting with, you spoke in tongues.
Amen.
Oh, well, that is really pretty cool, huh?
You didn't hear a song about a miracle inside you?
Yeah! I know! Cool. See? Isn't that so cool? So that's like the whole introduction to this idea of talking about the manifestations. It's not about some crazy definition or analyzing and picking them all apart. This is what God has given to us to be our power base and to be a way of life. He gave it to us to have. So that we wouldn't doubt, so that we wouldn't be worried about whether he was there or not. Right. Just starting with speaking in tongues. Right. So that's what I would really just want to have fun sort of exploring how the manifestations work together and what they are, and some of the word pictures about them, because just seeing that, it's the door of life. It's how to experience life. That's a witness. Any testimony, the best one is an eyewitness. So we are eyewitnesses of God's majesty whenever we speak in tongues. So anybody have any comments or anything? It kind of like tied the whole night together.
I thought of the verse, doesn't Jesus Christ, when he's talking about the Comforter, he says it will testify.
Just think about that.
So, we have this proof in us of Christ. Yeah, whenever we speak in tongues, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. What are you saying?
Yeah. Christ.
Christ.
It's the only testament it's the only testimony that we tell over and over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm. Yeah.
It's a new testimony.
It's a new testimony. That's cool too. Yeah. Right. And God understands all the words.
Right. That's awesome.
Plus, it feels. Right. I think it really. For me, I think sometimes it just confirms that. Yeah, when I speak in tongues, it confirms that God really is real and he really will take care of whatever that situation is.
Mm-hmm.
That he's ever present. And when I don't know, have any clue what to do, when I speak in tongues, I know that my God is there and that he is going to take care of it. And it's that continual testimony. Again and again and again, for him to just tell me, by me speaking in tongues, that he is right there and that he will perform whatever it is that needs to be done. Mm. That he is, that his grace is sufficient. Mm. I mean, speaking in tongues does all that.
Yeah, that's the verse in Romans 8 about he gives witness to our spirit that we are the sons of God.
Mm. Yeah.
And if we're sons, then he's going to take care of us. Yeah,
yeah,
that's awesome.
And we can do it all the time.
Yeah,
we can't heal people all the time. Yeah, everybody's sick.
Right,
we can't
cast
out devils all the time if there's not a devil to cast out. We had a kid at camp who was there for the first time, and he comes in and the first night. He was like, I'm really interested in this speaking in tongues thing, and he was just like brand new, And the next night he comes up to Jerry, Rosette, and I. And I said, I'll tell you what, if you do exactly what I tell you to do right now, in minutes you'll be speaking in tongues. He said, well, I find that hard to believe. And I said, okay, just do this. He started speaking in tongues, right? And he's asking, so is God like going to talk back to me in tongues? I go, oh, no. He'll show you in English. But then we ministered healing to him, and he said, it was a perfect lead-in, because he goes, well, I'll be really surprised if that happens. I said, you said that 5 minutes ago about speaking in tongues, and look at you. So we ministered healing to him. But it is. It's something that we can do all the time. 3:00 a.m, whatever.
Not only is the speaking in tongues that you speak a witness to you, but when somebody else speaks. I had spoken the word to this friend of mine who was an Indian kid. This is Gopi, he called today. And Gopi, when I met him, he worked in a little, like one of these little Indian shops where they sell coffee and all this stuff. And we became really good friends. And he had this picture of this god, Vishnu, which was an elephant with his nose. And I said to Gopi, Gopi, do you really believe God looks like that? And then he really questioned it. So I had told him I wanted to share about the Bible with him. And one day he called me up. He goes, okay, today's the day. So we go to Central Park. And I share the word with this kid. This is what he believes. So from that day, he heard about Jesus Christ. So by the time we get to my house, I said to him, Gopi, if you believe that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you can speak in tongues. I said, I'm going to do it first, and then you do it. And when that Indian kid began to speak in tongues, I almost fell back. Because he doesn't know anything about speaking in tongues. Right. This is the very first time he's heard about speaking in tongues. And here he is, and I hear tongues coming out of his mouth. So it blew me away. Because it was such a reality. If he had heard about it, if he had gone to a church, this guy's never heard about anything like this. So it floored me to hear this Indian kid speak in tongues. So of course I ran upstairs and got my mother and said, "You got to see this." Go be there. And he would speak in. He just spoke in tongues. Somebody who's never seen it. So it was such a witness to me to see someone who had never even experienced this word about speaking in tongues. Speak in tongues. The reality to me was like, whoa, that's amazing.
That's cool.